Good evening, everyone. This is the regular semi-monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is June 26th at 5:37 p.m. Pacific, 8:37 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA and the chair of this committee. Our secretary is normally R. Paul Martin from WBAI. He was unavailable tonight, so we will be using an interim secretary. In the meantime, I will call the roll. So, starting with the East Coast, Alex Steinberg, R. Paul Martin, Campbell Johnson,
present,
Marcus Jeter, Jim Boyd,
here,
Bill Crozier,
here,
Kim Kaufman,
here,
Ken Aaron,
here,
okay, Barbara Whipperman, LaVarne Williams, Arlene Engelhart, and myself, Tracy Rosenberg, make six. So we do have a quorum.
Well, Madam Chair, I believe Alex Steinberg requested an excused absence. I don't know if that's applied.
And so did R. Paul.
That's correct. Yes, R. Paul did as well. Marcus Jeter had an email exchange with me. I don't recall him requesting an excused absence. So I think it's likely that he'll be here. And Arlene Engelhart, who is not a member of the committee for quorum, but usually attends, called to let me know that she was coming down with the flu. And LaVarne Williams, our CFO, was called to the audit committee, which is also meeting tonight. She will hopefully join us a bit later in the call, but she had to go there and meet with them. Okay. So going forward, the first piece of business that we need to attend to is that we need a temporary secretary for tonight, since R. Paul, who is almost 100% reliable, simply can't do it this evening. I don't think he's missing. I don't think he's missed an NFC meeting in the years that I've been on the committee, but he had to tonight. So we do need a temporary secretary. Is there anyone who could volunteer in that capacity tonight?
Jim.
Jim? That'd be great. Thanks a lot, Jim.
When did we start?
We started at 5:37, and the following members were absent. Alex, R. Paul, Marcus, Arlene, and LaVarne, and Barbara missed the roll call but showed up after roll call.
Okay. Could be rough, but I'll do what I can do.
Okay. Who just joined? Hello? Okay. Whatever.
Somebody just got on.
Well, I thought so, but...
No, I thought so, too.
Did you have a person who just got on? Hello?
My headphones on.
Is that Marcus?
Sorry, I had my headphones on. Just on.
Okay. Is this Marcus? Okay. Okay. So Marcus has joined us. So the absentees are only the New York contingent tonight. Okay, well, the draft agenda that I sent out is kind of long. It went out at 2:19 this afternoon to the National Finance Committee group, so you all should have gotten it. I will read it out loud for the stream. On a number of these items, we're not going to be able to make that much progress because a lot of it depends on follow-through by Arlene and LaVarne. So despite the fact that the agenda looks long, I don't think it's actually going to take that long to work its way through. But this is what's on it right now. Number one, roll call. Number two, appoint temporary one night only secretary, which we have done. Number three, approve the agenda. Number four, just some brief logistics about the July 24th meeting cancellation and the committee blackout date situation going forward. Number five is a quick check-in about financial transparency document, which is probably just a scheduling item. Number six was a work group check-in. I know that there is nothing to report from WPFW. There may be a brief report from the WBAI group. Number seven, budget schedule updates from each station, as usual. Number eight, we were going to try to get a report back on the A to K pledges and talk a bit about the interstation pledge transfer protocol. I was hoping to get an update report from Terry Guy from Los Angeles, who's been working on the reconciliation. He doesn't have it yet, but we can get as far as we can get on that item. We might not be able to finish it. Number nine was community events regarding fiscal sponsorship and off foundation income, which is conversation left over from last time. And number 10 was supposed to be a brief update on the audit and the CPB funds, but again, without LaVon, I don't know that we will be able to deal with that item or not. There was also an item which I left off the agenda, which again should be on, but it requires LaVon, and that was a follow-up on the interstation transfer motion, which we had passed, and we were waiting for report, which we haven't gotten. I doubt we're going to get it tonight since we haven't gotten it, but we can at least observe the item and make sure that it rolls over to the next agenda. So that's our draft. Are there any modifications, or would someone like to move to approve?
I move to approve.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute. This is Ken.
Yeah, we're all on mute, not all.
I would like to add one item that's not on the agenda just for discussion. I don't care where you put it until we get to it.
Yeah.
Which is a question of conferences, and I don't know, not sure which ones are still coming up.
But, okay. Is it okay if I just put it on the bottom of the agenda?
Yeah.
I will get there because so many of these items aren't going to go anywhere. So let's just put it on item 12.
What is that item?
Discussion.
Conferences.
Cost of conferences.
Cost of conferences.
Okay. Thank you.
Number 11.
It's actually number 12. Number 11 was a brief update on the interstation transfers motion that we passed a month ago and are still waiting for our first report. So if you could put interstation transfers as number 11 and cost of conferences as number 12, I think that will be the modified agenda. Any other changes? I have a move to approve on the floor, but is there anyone who wanted to make a modification and didn't get a word in edgewise? No. Okay. Are there any objections to Campbell and Kim's motion to approve the agenda as amended? Okay, the agenda is approved. So the first item is pretty quick. Appearances to the contrary, I did not cancel tonight's meeting, although I apologize for the J's and the dates being close together. The meeting that I was canceling was the July 24th meeting. We had gone ahead at the beginning of the year and scheduled our meeting on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, not knowing when the PNB in-persons were going to be. And as it turns out, the PNB in person was scheduled for July 20th to 23rd. And we almost never have a finance committee meeting after a four-day-long PNB in-person meeting, partially because there's no one to stream because John and Otis are still traveling, and partially because for those of us who have to do both, it does kind of qualify as cruel and unusual punishment. That's usually standard practice on the finance committee. If, in fact, we do need to schedule an extra meeting to make up work, we can do that, but I think we'll have a better idea if that's necessary after we, you know, once we get to mid to late July. But it seemed pretty clear to me that the 24th was unworkable. So are there any objections to that, or can I move on? Or questions, or
I just have one question. This is Ken.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
How many meetings will we have before the in-person meeting?
We will have one more meeting in mid-July, which would be the second Tuesday in July, which would be the 10th. And right now, that's all we have scheduled. We certainly could schedule another meeting the week of the 16th to the 20th if we felt that we wanted to.
Okay. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is I really didn't think of that when we were creating the agenda, but we should discuss or consider it at some point if we want motions to forward to the in-person PMB meeting.
Yes. We'll discuss that either on the 10th or if we schedule a second meeting for July. And, of course, we could also meet July 31st, which would be the following Tuesday after the 24th. That's an option as well if we wanted to not lose that second meeting in July.
Kim, to the stack.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what's our schedule for, then we're going to cram all of the budgets into August. No, we have August and September.
Well, yes, we have August and September, and what I would say is we don't usually get too many budgets from the LSB before July 31st. Houston may be the exception, and if Houston gets it done in early to mid-July, we will probably approve it at the open meeting. Well, no, it would have to come to the NSC. So we might have that one budget to do, but I think it's unlikely we're going to get the majority of them until August. So my sense of it is we will probably be scheduling the extra meetings in August and September, not in July. So you guys might appreciate having one meeting in July, at least those of you that don't have to go to the in person.
Right.
Because as you know, come August, September, we have a lot of meetings. So maybe it's not such a bad thing. Yes, Bill?
Yeah. Did you want to mention the sort of blackout dates we have in late August and early September, though?
Yeah, that's coming.
Schedule more meetings.
Do you have the email in front of you? I did do some work with John Almella on how to deal with that for the meetings that we have scheduled. But if you have the email in front of you with the dates, otherwise I'll have to fish around for it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll just read it. Since Otis will be traveling to the July PNB and the DNC/RNC, those are the two conventions, we will not be able to stream or record meetings with the exception of Mondays, which Brian can handle. And let's see, the available dates are July 1st through the 13th, July 30th through August 17th, and then after September 13th. So between August 18th through September 12th may be a problem.
Wow.
Right.
And that may be when we need some extra meetings for budgets.
Right.
I might be able to stream one or more of those. It's not as convenient. It's not as easy when I'm participating in the call, in the meeting. But with some warning, I can probably do that.
For the regularly scheduled meeting that we have at the end of August that falls into those dates, I think it's August 28th, I've already got Brian Shirt-Suki to agree that he will do that for
right.
us. We're going to have to deal with the extra meetings kind of on an as-needed basis to some degree because I can't anticipate at this point what those dates are going to be. However, Brian's availability is best on Mondays and Tuesdays, which is handy for the NFC. And we can try to, hypothetically grab perhaps some Mondays on the off chance that we might need them. I don't know, but I know that other committees meet on Monday, so I'm a little reluctant to deal with it quite this soon, but maybe as July unfolds, we'll start getting a pretty good idea of when we can expect some budgets back and start kind of grabbing some dates preemptively. The worst case scenario would mean that we would have to meet unstreamed, which we can do as long as we get a tape to archive up ASAP. It's not my preference, but if we run into a total jam, that's probably what we'll have to do. Alternatively, Bill, if it's not a Houston budget, maybe we can use you as kind of a backup streamer.
Okay. Yeah, and it's not difficult for me to record it. It's just, if people can't listen to it in real time,
Which is better. Well, I make that happen. We'll have to see. Like last year, as I recall, I think we had something like 6 meetings in the first 2 weeks of September. And if we have to do that again this year, it's going to get a little hairy. But hopefully, it won't be quite that bad. We'll have to see. And I guess when we get the budget updates later in this meeting, we'll find out. but it's a little hard to predict in advance at this point. Okay. I don't know what all the other committees are doing, but we tried to get a couple of things settled about that. It's hard. Okay. Anything else on committee blackouts and July 24th cancellation and meetings in general? Okay. That brings us to item 5, financial transparency check-in. And there's nothing really to say except that comments on the document have been received from Karen, any other member of the committee. If you haven't had a chance to look it over, you should look it over.
Say that again. You should look over what?
This is Tracy.
Somebody's
gone. I think we lost you, Tracy.
What did she just say to look at? I'm sorry.
The number 5, financial transparency document. But I don't know where that is either.
He was the only one that sent comments.
Who was?
Ken?
I don't even remember seeing it.
He sent some comments about 2 weeks ago.
Wow. Well, I don't know what to say.
Does Tracy know she...
Hi, sorry, I fell off the call.
Yes, you did. We know this.
Okay. I'm sorry, my phone just went boop, and it went out. Okay, so financial transparency. So we were stymied...
Is that posted in the file section of the Finance Yahoo group?
No, and it should be, and I'm sorry, and I will take care of that right now. Apologies. No, it was just emailed out to the group.
Well, if you have it, I'd prefer if you just sent it regular for me.
Okay. Let me do both of those things, and I will do that in a minute. I will post it to the group, and I will also send it out on the email once again. In terms of... I think it would be good if, you know, anyone and everyone weighed in with their comments. Lauren was on vacation in June, so I tried to schedule a meeting and had to give up, but we will try to get it scheduled soon. I don't know if we'll manage it by July 10th, but we'll try. So that's where that is. Besides people wanting the document emailed out, is there anything else about this that anybody wants to comment on?
The only thing is Ken Aaron's email with his comments were emailed to everybody also.
Yeah.
If you're looking at that, Jim, do you have the date? I didn't mean for you to go hunting.
I have it. I didn't know I had done that. Am I on mute?
No, you're
not on mute.
May 29th at 7:27 p.m.
Great.
I had comments attached. So, yeah, financial transparency.
Okay, and I'll send the original document and stick it up in the Yahoo group files section.
I'll post my... I will post these things too.
Okay. Well, it's better if you send it to us, Ken, by the email.
Well, I don't want to get into dialogue, but when you post it, you receive an email.
Then you have to go to the website and
hunt around.
No, you don't. I don't think so.
Well, yes, I do.
Okay, guys. I'll try to find Ken's email and forward it.
I'm going to send it out right now.
Barbara for the stack.
Awesome. Yes, Barbara.
Well, I agree with Kim. Sometimes it's hard to get to the Yahoo group thing, I noticed that when our Paul posts something, he gives us a little link, and we can just click on that and get right to it, or within, you know, the group that it's in. And I find it time-consuming sometimes just to try to go to the group and look for the thing.
Yeah, well, you know, we all have different preferences, so let's just do both to the extent that we can, and that way
I'm applauding our Paul's links that he gives us.
If there's no later version than the May 29th, then we have both your Tracy's, your email, and Kim's. That was already mailed out. I didn't know if there's a later version.
No.
Okay.
No, there was a whole bunch of feedback received at the meeting, which, you know, certainly the work group needs to take into account. But the document hasn't been revised. It was waiting on that work group meeting to do that.
Okay.
Okay. Where were we?
Six.
Which I believe is our budget round the horn. So since we went partially through this before we got on the stream, let's start with Houston.
This is work groups?
This is the status of your budget process at your station. We're just going around the horn for the treasurers at each station, if they're here, to give a sort of an update on what's transpired.
You just got very faint, Tracy.
Mm-hmm. What's transpired since the last meeting and whatever they can do about an ETA for the budget going to the LSB and then coming to the NSC.
Are we deciding that, are we skipping number six, work groups check-in?
Oh, yes, we are. Sorry.
Okay.
As the agenda says, there's nothing to report from WPFW group. It hasn't met. It needs to. WBAI has met once since Kim and I are the only people. Kim, do you want to give a brief report? It was a very preliminary meeting, but maybe you can just say a thing or two about it.
I think we're trying to gather information.
I would agree with that. Okay. And on the gathering of some information, the plan is to meet again. That was exciting. Okay, that takes us back to budget schedule update. So let's go with the original plan and start with Houston and Jim.
Okay, the local finance committee passed a budget at the last meeting last week. We have our LSB meeting scheduled for scheduled for the 11th of July, and we're on the agenda to have the budget reviewed, and if it passes muster, to be passed, and it'll be ready. If it passes, it'll be ready to present to the NFC at this next meeting.
Okay. Well, that might be a good argument for having a meeting at the end of July, if only to knock off that one budget before we get to August. But let's see how the LSB meeting goes, and we'll see. Thank you. That's good news. Let's see. Shall we go east or west? Let's go west. Kim. And I'm sorry, Bill. Did you have anything to add to what Jim said?
No. Thanks, Jim.
Okay. Kim, Los Angeles.
I have not received a draft budget from management yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on Monday, and perhaps it will arrive before then, so we can look at it. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought we had received the budget about 2 months ago, but it was, like, delusional.
Yeah, I'm not calling that, except, you know, that was a non-starter. So, no, we haven't received a budget yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we talked about the very, very preliminary, not even close to rational budget that we, you know, 2 months ago. And I think we all agreed with the huge deficit that it was nowhere, you know, that it didn't really count. So we're waiting for a more serious budget proposal.
Right.
Okay. All right. So from L.A., we go to Berkeley. Barbara.
Well, we are still working in ad hoc groups. Maria has started, but we don't have a document yet. And we're hoping to have something for the LSB meeting, which is first Saturday in July, the 7th. But that would not be anywhere near finished, and we would be working on it in the LSB meeting, taking comments and so on. And it seems to me that we would be able to have an approved budget on our following LSB meeting, which is August 4th, four days after the 31st, which in, according to the calendar is when that should go to LaVarne. And so that is what our schedule is looking like.
I don't think we have anyone to say anything about New York. Campbell, do you have anything to say for D.C.? I guess Marcus isn't here. Oh, no. Marcus is here. I'm sorry. Marcus.
I am here.
You are here. That's correct. You go first, and then Campbell can go second.
If that's how you like it. I have nothing to report. The general manager was away all last week at a meeting, at a conference. I've attempted to contact him this week without success, and I suppose I'll try to drop by the station tomorrow, but he has not been available or has not forwarded any information, and I just really have nothing to report, I'm sorry to say.
Mm-hmm. Campbell, do you want to add anything?
No, I don't have anything particular to add, except that we are continuing to look for a new station facility.
Of course. It's a big deal. Okay. Thanks, everyone, for the quick summary. Hopefully that helps us a little bit to at least get a sense of what the schedule will be like for things coming in, at least as we can best project it at this point. Okay. Who was that?
Oh, Bill?
Okay, Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I just hope that, you know, like the people at A and K and WPFW are reminding their colleagues there that if they don't get the stuff in for the deadline, the NFC will write a budget for the station, and neither then their LSB nor their management will have much input into it. And, you know, we made a mistake last year by giving some extra time to some of the stations, and then we got several of them at the very last minute, and we had, you know, that's why we had four or five or six meetings in September, something ridiculous like that, and we just can't do that again, especially with this, you know, the limitations on number of meetings. So it's really critical that the LSP, that your local finance committee get a budget approved so that your LSP can vote in July. If that doesn't happen, then you're probably giving up your option to have input into the budget. So I hope you'll pass that along to the other people when you're at your station, including management,
you,
if you're not getting anything from management.
Thank you, Bill.
This is Marcus. I understand that fully, and I have continued to make every effort to move this forward, and what can I say? I can't force him to do it, and he's not been cooperative.
Campbell for staff.
Campbell?
Yes, at our last meeting with the general manager, he indicated that he would have a budget by the end of the month.
Okay, and I think Bill's point is well taken, and certainly LSBs can always call extra meetings for the purposes of budget approval, and that is certainly something that every LSB should consider if it's necessary. Okay. So that brings us to item 8, and unfortunately, I had hoped to get the spreadsheet from Los Angeles with some reconciled pledges so we could sort of get the specific issue out of the way, but there is still a sort of a policy question. So just briefly, let me reiterate what the item is. And at some point, Ken had had the rough workings of a motion around some of this stuff, which we never really did anything with. I don't know whether we're going to be able to come up with an action item this time around, but maybe. Basically, what we were dealing with, as a reminder, was a deal between the Berkeley and Los Angeles stations regarding the simulcast of 2-hour-long programs on the Los Angeles station that are produced in Berkeley, and having pledges received when the Berkeley station is in Fund Drive and the Los Angeles station is not in Fund Drive at the Fund Drive room in Berkeley from zip codes in Los Angeles be basically not put into Memphis in Berkeley, but packaged up and bundled and sent to Los Angeles. So there's 2 issues, one of which is more policy-based than the other. The first issue is approximately somewhere between an $8,000 to $15,000 discrepancy between what Berkeley thinks those numbers are and what Los Angeles thinks those numbers are. And we're still waiting to get that figured out. And unfortunately, I haven't gotten Los Angeles's reconciliation quite yet. I hope to fairly soon. Apparently, it's just not done. The original numbers were, like I said, anywhere between $7,000 to $8,000 and $15,000 off. Second question, which I think is a bit more meatier, has to do with what we want to be doing about these kinds of simulcast and, you know, geography issues, specifically because we have a misunderstanding going on between the 2 stations about what they're doing. Los Angeles was under the impression that they were getting pledges from the Los Angeles zip codes during the 2 hours per day, 5 days a week, in which there were simulcasts. In other words, from 10 to 11 a.m. and from 6 to 7 p.m. Berkeley was under the impression that any pledge that came in Monday through Friday, all day long, from a set of zip codes, it's basically south of the Mason-Dixon line in California, all went to Los Angeles and were not processed all through the day, even when there was no simulcast going on. The question of why you would be getting pledges from Southern California when there's no simulcast is a question, but apparently there is a substantial amount, be it web listeners or whatever. So I think that needs to be resolved one way or the other. I mean, it's not good to have people operating on different understandings, number one. And number two, because we brought up this item last time, there's a difference between a simulcast and an out-of-zip code pledge. And certainly, I think the other stations would be entitled to ask for pledges from their zip codes, if in fact that's what we're doing. So I think it should be consistent from station to station. And there should be some sort of a consistent policy regarding A, simulcasted hours, and B, just out-of-area pledges that come in. Because I think it leads to hard feelings when there are special deals in certain circumstances, and then those special deals don't apply to others and that kind of stuff. So that's the item, and we can do a brief discussion, and if anyone has an action item or a motion, they can, you know, throw it on the floor. I heard Kim. Is there anybody else on the stack?
Barbara.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Kim, then Barbara.
Well, I would ask, I guess,
LaVarne, sorry for being late. I was on the audit committee, then I had some tasks, some errands to run. But I'm
no, fine. We're glad you're here. Welcome.
Thank you.
I would ask, because my understanding is there's an 800 number, and then there's obviously the station's own numbers. So it might, I don't know if they can tell in the phone room which number came in on.
No, not in our room.
Okay, well, then we can't differentiate that way. I mean, it could be legitimate that somebody is listening. You know, I sometimes listen to WBAI, and if the spirit moved me, I might want to, you know, donate to them. And I'd wanted to go to them, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I guess the phone, I don't know. I mean, the phone room person needs to be a little sharper, perhaps, about asking these questions. But that's, you know, judging from our phone room people, that may not happen, you know. It's a little complicated. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's keep on rolling through the stack and see where we get to. Barbara.
Well, I did also, since you asked, Tracy, try to get figures about, you know, the breakdown and the process. And I did get some things from Chris Stelic in our data office. And he, in fact, was, you know, working with Terry. And the thing that Terry told, this is what I heard just at 4:30 today. When they receive these notifications from us that there are pledges for their area, they enter them into their data system along with calls that they're getting locally. So these things, there's not a distinction made at the time in the KPFK database of how, you know, what calls are coming from the north and what calls are arriving there from the Los Angeles area. So there is something that Chris Stelic could do, go back to the records of, you know, before they transmitted all the pledges, and look at those totals that were taken at the time, which were just rough working totals. We know that these are things that the two, Terry and Chris, then work with each other to reconcile when the numbers are different. And it just was too time-consuming to ask him to do this now. They're doing a lot of work. I could forward to you guys this sheet. It's very simple that Chris gave me that's got everything but the KPFK total, so it really isn't very helpful, but it's from 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 9 pledge fund drives starting with May 2010 through May 2012. And it does give, you know, the goal figures that we were using in the phone room and KPFA, the phone room totals as calculated by the phone room coordinators, and then he's got a total that when the cards get entered into the data system for KPFA and for the Fresno station, because that one goes through our data system. And then they're able to calculate the total for Fresno, so they know what the rest of it was for KPFA. Now, the KPFK totals I don't have anything on because it was, as I described, a lengthy process to go back and reconstruct. And I'd just like to remind people that, you know, the actual calculation for central services on these monies as they come in are not made on this total. They're made when the money is actually deposited, you know, each month. Of course, in the beginning, it's a larger amount because there are a lot of things on credit or debit cards. So these are sort of double check kind of totals. I don't see a problem with the way these folks are handling this stuff. This question that Tracy brings up of if you get calls from some other station, from another area, somebody listening online, I'm not quite sure what to do about that. I did tell about one call that I had from somebody who was in upstate New York who said she wanted to pledge to KPFA, and we didn't have any system in place that would have diverted her money anyway. So I didn't bother bringing that up as some kind of a question for the coordinator in the room or anything. But if anybody wants these totals that I have here, I could email you guys.
Yeah, if you could email them.
It's
yeah,
a simple little grid.
I'd like to see them, yeah.
And,
if you could email them to me.
As I said, nothing from KPFA, KPFK is in this because Terry hadn't. I'm not sure that Terry can separate it, but I think the person who can separate out what was sent down there is Chris Stelic with the records that he still has because of, you know, scanning these pledge cards and transmitting them electronically rather than sending the cards themselves. And after a time, he does shred the cards, so I don't know how far back he's got the... But they do have the electronic transmission.
So. Okay, thanks, Barbara. If you could send that to me, I don't know if the whole committee wants to see it or not, but I would like to. That would be great. Okay,
I'll tell you one thing about the last figures, which were the place where we started this discussion a meeting or two ago with the goal of 740,000 and the phone room total of 686,333. The figures that Chris gave me today, the 686 is now, after corrections made when they go through their reconciliation process, 671,333. In other words, it dropped, but it could, you know, go up sometime, too. This is what happens when these fellows are reconciling the figures as they, you know, deal with them.
Thank you, Barbara. Okay, so I had Ken and then I had Bill on the stack.
And Kim.
Okay, Ken? Ken?
Yes, yes. I had to make sure I go off mute without ending the call. Okay. Yeah, I'm just about to send out the policy I've been recommending since November of 2011.
Oh, good. Great.
And I'm just going to send it one. Just give me a moment. Since November 2011. Here it goes. And, I mean, I can let that speak for itself, and I'll just give it a brief statement here, which is that when we're talking about interstation fundraising or, you know, collisions, we have to think about the listener. Whatever mechanical considerations about proper compensation to the people involved for the administrative efforts or the pitching or whatever – number one has to be providing the best experience and service to the listeners, the people making the donations. Everything has to be subordinate to that. So I had proposed a solution. Also, it is I was just going over listening to some material about early Italy feudal states before they became a country. And we tend to get into that, and there's going to be a propensity for that to allow two stations to try to work it out. This has to come from the mothership.
I didn't hear what you said, Ken. When you get into what?
When the stations are likely to get into competitive or conflict of interest in terms of who gets what. Or I don't want to bother with yours or whatever. The policy for interstation broadcasting and fundraising should come from National and not be, and any disputes should be handled by National rather than trying to make special deals and arrangements on each event or each relationship between the stations, because we may be in positions where we're going to have to increase our interstation broadcasting and our interstation fundraising. We should normalize this, again, with the primary attention on the best experience for the person making the donation, not the convenience of the business manager or the membership manager or the broadcast. That's secondary. We have to make it primarily for the listener. So I sent out this policy, and I've been trying to get people to deal with it. If somebody really wanted to take it on and grab a hold of it and find out what they're doing at other networks, other public radio stations, so that we can go with an existing model and not have to reinvent the wheel. But can't do everything. So I propose this, and I distribute it to you, and it says in the email what the history of it is.
It's going to be is we're going to continue on with the stack. And has emailed this as a draft motion. I will read it out loud, and then we can make a decision if he's going to, you know, put this on the table at this point in time or just leave it until July 10th for people to fiddle with and arrive at a kind of a more finished motion proposal.
My proposal I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm not putting this up as a motion.
You're not. Okay. You're putting it up as a discussion item. Okay, good.
As a draft to develop
okay.
a motion.
Okay, good. So we will end up kicking this item over into July 10th, it sounds like. So I had Bill next on the stack, followed by Kim.
Yeah, I agree with Kim. We need to make it easy for the listener and make sure that the money goes to the station the listener wants. And I hope we do have more of this. It's a problem, but, you know, like Ken was hitting at, more national programming. The convention coverage is a great example of, you know, things we can simulcast on multiple stations, and I hope we continue to do more of that. But we have another problem coming up in a few months if we don't get this resolved pretty quick. And, in fact, we probably need to go back and fix any problems or errors that have happened earlier this year, and that's with our elections, because we want to make sure people get the proper ballots when the delegate election ballots
right.
go out. And
right.
we also need to make sure they don't get one for more than one station. And that's happened mm-hmm. in the past already, and this might make it even worse. So I don't know, I have a solution, but we need to get it fixed, and we need to make sure this is corrected well before the elections.
Okay, I think Kim was next.
I agree with Bill about the election issue, but I just wanted to request that Barbara send me the stuff also.
I sent it to the Finance Committee.
Recently?
Just now.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
That's
it hasn't come through yet, but it
but
should
yeah,
be through
this is,
in a minute or two.
This is that kind of, it's a bigger problem than just our station.
Yeah, well, that's why we're talking about it, you know. Okay,
no,
for anyone else? Oh, sorry.
It does kind of, I don't know what to say about having a national membership, like one membership database, which isn't going to happen anytime soon, but... That would be.
But it's, yeah, it has advantages, I know. Okay. Well, if no one else wants to weigh in, we have sort of a working document from Ken. I can see that it's come through on the email. I'd suggest that people take a look at it, put stuff in, take stuff out, and that we allot a little bit of time at the next meeting to try to arrive at a policy recommendation that hopefully would apply all through the network whenever simulcasts are in play. And whenever, you know, out of zip code donations are received. That's an ambitious task, but, you know, it's part of what we're here to do. So I hope that that we'll take a hack at it next time. And thank you, Ken, for putting it out there. And I'm sorry that we didn't do anything about it from November till now, but at least we're going to do something about it now. At least I hope so. Okay.
And a point of information on that, or just to inform you. I put it out on the Financial Recovery and Audit Task Force, not in finance.
Oh, okay. I thought at some point you had mentioned it in finance.
I may have, but I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing the document, but I remember some earlier version of it that I thought came to NFC as a motion, but maybe things are getting swiveled in my mind. So
okay.
Apologies if I'm wrong about that. I haven't seen this whole two-page document. This is definitely a more extensive version of whatever we had.
Okay.
All right. So at this point in time, we have another carryover item, which had to do with community events that were sort of being outsourced. And we were discussing Southern California specifically again. I don't know why, but we were. There were sort of two items here that were potentially problematic. One involved what it does to our bookkeeping. For example, Kim had brought up some community events numbers for KPFK. But, of course, those numbers, which are from the books, are wrong if a certain amount of event income and event expenses are being handled outside of the KPFK book structure, which is the case right now. The other issue that came up is if some of the individuals and entity being used for events are not 501c3s but are fiscally sponsored projects of other 501c3s, then revenue going through those items is basically being subjected to what we call a 501c3 sponsorship fee. So a certain amount of the event income is basically being taxed by some other 501c3 for a 501c3 umbrella that, in fact, Pacifica doesn't need because we are a 501c3. So it's basically throwing a little money off the side of a bridge. So the question became whether we needed some sort of policy about keeping community events income and expenses in-house, or how to deal with some of these problems, because it throws our books off, number one, and number two, we're sort of paying a tax. So that was kind of what I wanted to put out. Again, this is a scenario where a specific thing happened at a specific station, but it brings up larger policy issues for all of the stations if this is done more often and more significantly, because the books will become more off and the amount of income that's sort of being superfluously taxed will become larger. So let me stop there. I had hoped to come back to you guys with some sort of commotion, but I don't have one.
This is Ken. Okay, let Kim go and then I'll go.
Okay, I heard Kim and I heard Ken. Is there anyone else who wants to be on the stack? Okay, Kim.
I'm trying to find out more information, so I don't have an opinion yet. I'm not sure how this works, but I'm trying to find out. I am going to find out the information, and then I'll have more information. I have not yet gotten the information that I'm happy
with.
All
right. Ken?
Okay. Hey. Yeah. Yes, there's several of us are involved in other nonprofits or have experience with them. And there's always networking and joint sponsorship of events and confusing things and 501c parent organizations and so forth. So the topic of doing outside events is another topic because we've had big failures in that. But I would say we could draft a policy that calls for absolute budget disclosure for all events entailing greater than $5,000 of outlay.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, and that has to be presented to the LSB. And so that it's just disclosure is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could say, let's say, you're having a Michael Jordan's going to be doing an event, and, you know, we'll tolerate, you know, some extra money going this way and that because it looks really good. But the main thing is disclosure that has to be done, and I really think it has to go to the LSB. And, you know, full financial disclosure listing all parties involved, all fees, overhead, and expected ancillary services such as babysitting and limousines and security services, hotel rooms and airplanes.
Don't laugh.
Can't hear you, Ken.
No limousines, I'm sure, but okay.
It's happened.
They all occur.
So, okay, well, let me...
Just some kind of a motion requiring any event that a station is involved in, any community event or co-sponsored event, must be in excess of $5,000 of expenses must be completely disclosed to the LSB in a written financial document, not just a narrative statement, listing all arrangements, fees, costs, overhead, and anticipated expenses.
Okay. Do you want to make that a motion? Do you want to come back?
No. I think it's close enough, because the sooner we do it, the better. I mean, if we keep pushing this stuff off, we've already had, and that covers also the, I can't think of the right adjective for it, but like the banana effect of, like, you know, having these crazy events like a gorilla race or,
duck race.
I didn't want to say that. I just didn't want to say that again. I swore I would never say that again. Okay.
A gorilla race will do.
putting on a jazz event and a station that doesn't have a jazz audience, or putting on a rock and roll event at a station that does have a jazz audience, all of these insane things. So, this kind of transparency thing would cover both. You know, because you would have to disclose, including the full description of the nature of the event. Hopefully the secretary picked up some of what I said.
Just one mechanical thing. This is being put forward as a motion. I got the gist of what you're saying. I suspect that Jim needs you to restate it for the record.
Slowly.
So let's do that, and then we'll continue with the stack.
Okay, any events that a station is involved in, whether co-sponsored or co-produced, shall be in excess of $5,000 cost, shall be fully disclosed to the LSB for approval, in which disclosure will include a full description of the event, a list of all parties and organizations involved, and any anticipated fees, surcharges, costs, or overhead.
Or consultants.
Okay, consultants. We can add on. Or and ancillary expenses.
Period.
I think that's about it.
Kim, does that work? Hang on a sec. Let's just get the motion together. I have an amendment, too. So just hang on, Kim. But we got to get the motion on the floor first.
If you guys can craft through the wordsmithing, that would be great.
Jim, Jim, do you have enough of what Ken said to feel comfortable?
Any events a station is involved in excess of $5,000 shall be fully disclosed to the LSB in written form to include a full description of the event, all parties involved. I think that should be split. What are parties? And then anticipated fees, costs, consultants, and ancillary expenses. Parties is not a good term. What does that mean?
I'm sorry, what was the last question, Jim?
All parties involved.
All principals. The word would be principals.
Principals, okay.
Well, what word would you suggest, Jim?
Excuse me. Presented to the LSB for approval. Oh, and it's all unbudgeted events. All unbudgeted events. Because if it's on the budget, it's fine. As long as it's
okay. I think you may be lumping a couple million things together there, Ken. But let's get your version on the table, and then I think there'll be some amendments coming. It's my sense, because I've got one.
But my intention would be
like
all unbudgeted events presented to the LSB for approval.
Gotcha.
Okay.